A62, number 15B.
Then from the point of view of spirit, real, health, therefore health is spiritual. Only spiritual health is real health. So if you are clamoring for corporeal health, it's all right that we clamor for it, but even corporeal health is not health. It's still corporeal, and therefore it's not real health. Therefore we must get healthy spiritually, yes? And that's the real sense of health. We must get the spiritual sense of health. Yeah. If we go to soul, and we come to the next button, health is balance. Is balance, is unchangeable. Yes. Well, it only shows something, you see, that there are apparently within each synonymous term, that there are some ideas, a few ideas, that have a great intrinsic value. So that you didn't say, for instance, health is happiness, or health is joy, because we have the joy of soul. You somehow felt this wouldn't quite click. Though you could say, if you are happy, you are healthier. Yes. But you would feel, therefore, and that's a question which we have to put aside for the moment, which we may take up next year, that we will see that within those ideas of each synonymous term, there is a quite a hierarchy of level, that some ideas are intrinsically mind, other characteristics which we have on the list are translated forms of these intrinsic ideas translated to the human plane, and therefore are not so intrinsic as others, and this naturally then begins to structure our consciousness even more. But for the moment we leave that approximation, this uncertitude principle, or how is it called? Uncertitude principle? Yeah. Uncertainty. Uncertainty principle. We must leave it open at the moment and just work with an approximation so that little by little then we get it clearer. Alright, so what we can see here in soul is certainly a very important point, that health is something which is unchangeable, which has a fixed identity, and you cannot be changed to its opposite, cannot change to sickness. That's the changelessness of soul. But health does not turn into sickness, which human mind believes it does. So if I don't start out from mind as idea, I have a human concept of health, and then naturally at the point of soul I believe that it can be changed into sickness. From point of view of principle, what do I see in principle? Yeah.
An ideal system.
Health is an ideal system. Yes. Yeah. I think if our system works well, ideally, we feel healthy. Yes. So health is a frictionless system. Yes. Quite right. That's why I always feel. I think it's difficult to prove something which is not provable, but I always feel because we are thinking very much along a system and to contemplate the great categories of the system and are interested in the system and not in isolated ideas. Our whole teaching is, so to say, geared to think in categories and to think in great categories and in intertwining of categories. And we are not running after gnats, huh? But we swallow camels sometimes, just the big categories, huh? And not those isolated little problems and so on. Because we are thinking along a system that our system, our bodily system, works better. That works rather good. I don't know how it is with you, but I think it works quite well with me. And because we are thinking in system, and that's health. Health is not the compound just of isolated facts, but through principle, those isolated facts are brought together into interrelationship. And the moment everything is interrelated harmoniously, we have health. When something is diseased, it means that one or the other factor of the whole system doesn't play anymore its right place within the whole. So it has to be set right. I feel that as we go on really studying this system, I don't think that we will be very much engaged in healing ourselves. I don't think so. I don't think we will be sick. I don't think so. I don't see any reason for it. Do you see any reason? I don't see any. But if we study Christian Science atomistically, we have every reason to be sick. Every reason, because that makes sick. The moment we break up the system into isolated parts and consider isolated parts, we have every reason to get sick and to be sick. If we have that, because health is system. Huh? What you brought out is absolutely true. And so, as long as the student of Christian Science is constantly repeating sentences and statements, and rattle them off day in and day out, all those nice statements they have learned somewhere and read somewhere and heard somewhere and been taught somewhere, they are breaking up the system. They are breaking up the spiritual system, and therefore they are breaking up their health. I can't see how they could be healthy, as a matter of fact. Because all is consciousness. So as we contemplate more and more Christian Science as a structured presentation of facts and not as isolated accumulation of facts, the more we have health. There is no reason why we shouldn't have perfect health. Yes, then become health as life. What is that? We put in ideas of life.
Individual.
Health is individual. What does that mean, that health is individual?
Each idea is an expression of perfect health, which is in the whole, is a part of the whole.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. That's beautiful. So, individual health does not mean that each individual has health. That would be human. Yes. Your answer was absolutely right. Yes. Yes. So that every individuality of idea has a healthy form, has a healthy gestalt, because it contains all what it needs to be that individuality. Health as life, can you also bring in all the ordinary ones?
Health is life, self-sustaining.
good. Health would be self-sustained, yes, self-maintained. The moment we have that system in principle, that health is a system of relationship, that constitutes health, that moment, you can also see that system, by operating by itself, is self-sustaining that health, self-maintaining it, self-providing it. And as love, health as love. It's universal. That's your big tone, huh? Universal health. It's wonderful, huh? Health is universal. Belongs there. Which means what? Which means that if we entertain a right idea, the right idea of health, that it has a universal effect, that we entertain an idea of health which has a universal impact. We can't establish the idea of health just for ourselves, because we think about it and then say, well, I have a right idea of health, and therefore it's my idea of health. It never belongs to us, because it belongs to principle. Therefore it's universal. I don't see why we shouldn't be a great saving power to the whole world as we are sitting here and are contemplating ideas of reality. They are universal, these ideas. And they have an universal impact. And so health is an ideal idea, and it's a universal idea, and the whole world, it reaches over continent and ocean and has its impact. Whoever is open for it will feel it. Whoever welcomes it will feel it. Yes. Okay, that would be health. So we go to the last one, to love. What would you like to take in love? I think we all need a big plan. We all need to see that we operate in the plan of love. We don't want just to have for the moment something that is satisfactory. We feel we must live and move and have our being in a universal plan, so that in that constant change that life brings, we are still fulfilling a plan. All right, so let's take the plan of love. What is plan of love intrinsically in love? Why is plan love?
Self-fulfilling. Plan is self-fulfilling.
A plan is self-fulfilling. Why is a plan self-fulfilling?
Well, it wouldn't be a plan unless it had a complete conclusion that was satisfactory and complete.
Yes. Yes, in that plan, everything is lined out, is direct. You say lined out, is outlined. Everything is programmed there.
Huh?
And goal-directed. A plan intrinsically means it must contain everything that is necessary for its fulfillment. That's the big thing of a plan. Yes? So, if we take that and see that we are living and moving in a universal plan, then we must see, is this plan just something we are thinking about, or what is the nature, the inner nature of that plan? Not what will that plan bring, or what is our individual form of that plan that we don't know, but what means that we see that plan is an idea. It is an idea because it relates also to the ideas of mind. Therefore, plan is what?
Idea.
Yeah. But you see how much it's the biggest thing we can think of, huh, always. Because we ask ourselves, well, what kind of plan do we have? And the biggest plan we can think of is actually only that plan which exists as an idea in mind. We can't help it. If we think about moving and living in the plan, we say, well, who has planned the plan? Who has made the plan? Well, mind is the creator, he could only plan it through mind's idea. That we see it is mind's conception. A plan is mind's conception, mind's idea. And the moment we see that, then we are already free from that false concept that it has anything to do with human planning. Because human planning is what? That the human mind thinks out the plan. And we know that most plans, or practically all the plans that are being made today in all over the country, all over the world, all the designs that are being made, all the program, we could also call the plan the program, the programming, that's the planning of today. That the programming, the planning is done by the human mind. It's outlined through the human mind, conceived through the human mind. And therefore we plan humanly. Whereas if we correct that, we go back and see, no, there is one infinite mind, and alone that mind knows all. And because mind knows all, it can foresee all, it can foretell all, it can therefore have a perfect plan. It can know the perfect plan. And therefore it can create that perfect plan, conceive that perfect plan, then bring forth that perfect plan. It's the will of mind that brings it into being. Mind wills the perfect plan. It's no more dependent. Will it happen? Will it not happen? The will of mind makes it happen, makes it to come about, creates it. And so we come to spirit. What can we see? What the plan is? So we have seen only that is a plan which is conceived of mind's idea. So a spirit, what do we see in spirit?
The plan reflects the divine.
The plan reflects the divine, for instance, yes. It is therefore not a material plan or a human plan, yes. The plan unfolds, and a plan has always within itself the ability to unfold in ordered way, according to an ordered way, because that's how the program runs now. A program has an order. It's planned out in an ordered way, step one, step two, step three, step four, ordering things, yes. So a plan orders everything within that plan. What does it also do in spirit?
It's a positive plan.
It's a positive plan, yes. A very positive plan, yes.
Gives birth
to that plan, brings it forth, yes, unfolds that plan. Sorts out what does not belong to the plan, you see, sorts it out, develops that plan, yes. It's a developing course, yeah.
Spirit, the great architect.
Therefore,
it takes care of every detail of the plan.
Yes. You see, when... Oh, that's fine, huh? Uh-huh. She says spirit is a great architect, but the architect is not spirit. She says spirit is a great architect because she speaks around matter. Huh? And therefore the planar is really mind. Huh? And that the details, all right, we could see that, you see. Yes, we could see that in spirit, the plan is that where we plan out all the diversification, classification, and individualization, therefore the detailization, you could say, that's what you had in mind. Huh? Can you say the detailization? You can invent it, huh?
The plan is ordered.
The plan is ordered, yes. But to go along that the wonderful point there, you see, that first you have the conception in mind, huh? Then in spirit you order it, and in order to order it you need to classify until you come to the smallest detail of it, that each detail is planned out, yes, that spirit. Then in soul, the plan in soul is what? Yes? It's identified. What does it mean if a plan is identified?
It's made the same as principle. It's made the same as it's a secure sense, a definite, defined.
Yes, yes, yes. It makes that plan definite. Huh? Yes. It's not wobbly. Huh? It's very definite
it's
plan.
It's balanced.
It's balanced. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Then we come to principle. That plan, huh? As principle.
It works.
It's ever at work. It works by itself. Huh? It's not personal because it's principled. It works by itself. It demonstrates itself. It operates by itself, it channelizes everything within that system. That plan is built on system. Yeah, it's built on system. It operates according to a system, not at random. Yes. Then in life, that plan...
Self-sufficient. Self-sustaining.
Uh-huh. Because we had self-sufficient in love at one time, when we did it. It's much more self-existing, self-providing, yes. Yeah.
Method.
Absolutely. That plane has a method. It chooses the right method, yes. Yes, to fulfill that plane. Every plane needs another method, yeah. And as truth, that plane as truth, well, huh? It's a whole plane, it's a healthy plane, huh? Yeah. It affirms itself, it's a saving plane, it helps, huh? A plane that saves and helps, it's because it's a Christ plane, yes. And you feel that that plan is the plan of salvation. Yes. That it enforces salvation. Yes. That it doesn't it leaves nothing unturned that needs to be turned over, huh? Until that plan is really fulfilled. Yes. Because it has the quality of truth, it will overturn and overturn until it comes with right. It is, that's a wonderful statement from the Bible. I always think that's really truth. Huh? Just doesn't leave anything, what you said, does not leave a stone unturned.
Sure.
Yeah, you have that saying. Yeah, that's what truth does. Huh? Yeah, so that the plan fulfills itself. Yes? Okay, did we do it? Yes. It got into the rhythm, to the flow, so that We know now for all the years to come, every time something comes to us as a definite idea, whatever it is, it comes to us as a definite idea, we don't just say, oh yes, now I got the right idea. I got now the right idea of plan, for instance. So that's wonderful. The plan is the plan of love. So I know it's a plan of love. Finished. That wouldn't be good enough. Because it would just be a concept, just a terminology, something we have learned, but it would not have really the wide, big tone of plan. So in order to get a wider sense of the term, we go and blend it with the seven synonymous terms. Later on we will blend it also with the Christ and Christianity and science, and later on perhaps we blend it with the levels so that it becomes bigger and bigger and therefore more and more exact. Yes. Okay, so we have finished this assignment, B4. And tonight we start and take an example of this blending of the seven with the seven through the Bible, through the David story. So tonight we start with that assignment of the David story, and we take a day or a day and a half for that. Perhaps I first introduce it a little bit through Bible interpretation. Yeah.